Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. I want to continue looking at parables. We started last Wednesday night, and I just want to dive right into another parable. And as I said last week, the word is seed. And we've got to make sure that as we read it, we learn out of it what will determine what our promises can be and how we take spiritual principles. And it's real important that we're able to transfer them with natural stories into the realm of the Spirit. And understand that God has certain ways that He operates. And if we can get a hold of those ways, we can walk in the blessing that's available through understanding what He taught in the parables. And so we want to continue looking at that tonight. Matthew 25, verse 14. As I talked seed, this parable was one of the avenues that 15 years ago, Michelle and I started really implementing the teaching into our lives, and it makes a difference. Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants, entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, divided in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more, said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I'd lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant, give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they'll have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. So now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This parable was called in many translations and earlier translations the parable of talents. The parable of talents. And in the older translation, they use talents, and a lot of preachers have preached on this with a misunderstanding of talents, because it's not talking about what you've been gifted in. It's talking about talents is a word that was used to define an amount of money. So I like when it's translated bags of silver. I just think that's good. Many have misused this and came to different points because they've taken talent to mean the wrong thing. It's not about dunking a basketball. If you're okay, it's not about being an artist and using that gift. I mean, it's about money. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated like this. And we've got to see so many things in here. And because Tom Underhill was just here, I have so many thoughts as I'm reading scripture now of types and shadows. And as I read this, as Jesus is talking about it, you've got to see this is kind of like Jesus going on a trip. He's departing the first time on earth. He's left us with the Holy Spirit. He's left us with everything we need. And then he comes back. You can see the types and shadows in this exact story as Jesus is telling it. But I'm not going to get into all of that tonight. What I want to talk about is 5 bags, 2 bags, and 1 bag. 5 bags, 2 bags, and 1 bag. Dividing it according to their what? Abilities. They were divided. This money was given, and it was divided according to their abilities. When you study the Bible and you are biblical in your thinking, then you can get a real key here. I mean, it's very important that we understand that not everybody got five. Three servants, five was given to one, two was given to another, and one was given to the other according to their abilities. Yeah, I mean, you can't read this any other way. Dividing in proportion to their abilities, verse 15. So you have been given money according to your abilities. Now, as you read scripture and you see this, communism is not a scriptural way of thinking. Socialism is not a way that we can read scripture and go, well, that's the way it should operate. This is not communism that's being communicated here. Everyone is not given the same amount. And we're not, communism is taking all the money and dividing it up into equal shares. Church, that will not work. It won't work. See, giftings will give you different amounts of money depending on what you are able to do. And so God doesn't distribute equally. He distributes according to giftings. Now, as we read that, we can think, well, that's not fair. We just are so caught up in our society from a very young age. Well, that's not fair. You've got the wrong understanding. That's not correct thinking. Different abilities means different amounts. All right, so as you see this, the point is, regardless of whether or not you got five or you got two or you got one, the Bible says double what you get. Double what you get. Keep doubling what you get, and I'm telling you, you'll be all right. If you'll just double what you get, you'll be okay. And we got to quit comparing. Well, so-and-so got this, and we didn't get it. Don't get hung up and miss the point here. You got to take what you have been given, and you got to double it, and then you'll be blessed. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. The key is, right here, you've got to read, when you read, well done, my good and faithful. Good and faithful. Everybody say faithful. My good and faithful. What's that mean? That means you're trustworthy. That means you can handle it. See, my good and faithful servant. The key is faithfulness in handling what you have been given. You got to be faithful. The key to getting more is that you're faithful in what you got. Now, this generation don't get faithfulness. We want it first, and then we'll take care of it. If you'll just give it to me, I'll show you I can take care of it. And what God's saying here is, take care of what you got before I give. But we're raising a generation of young people that want to get and then prove they can be faithful with it after they get it. And that's not the way it works. You be faithful with what you have. The key to getting more is being faithful with what you get. You know, when we want it first and say we'll take care of it, that's the mindset that I'm watching, not just with our young people, but this is a generational thing that's now in the next generation of our workforce. Of our workforce. See, when I get a raise, I'll start doing better on my job. When I get a raise, I'll start. When I get this, then I'll take care. And as I want you to understand here, I'm teaching this to our young people all the time. I teach it when we're in an advanced camp during the summer. I teach it to our young people in school. I teach it to our intern program. And I want to make sure that we're communicating this to all of our young people. And here's an illustration I give all the time. A father raising kids. And you're at Walmart or at the local grocery store or somewhere that has all those little machines you put quarters or nickels or pennies in. I don't think there's penny ones anymore. There used to be penny ones. Nickel's about the cheapest one you can find, and you're not going to get much out of that one. But what happens when you're walking out and a child 2 or 3 years of age sees the gumball machine? Money, 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 money. I mean, They're looking at mom or dad, money, 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 please. And they're just looking. And you can see when their eyes get on that machine. What do they do when they see it? That they're locked on it, and they know the only way to get that out of that glass bulb on top of that, the only way is money. And so you trust them, and you give them a nickel. And they're walking, if they can walk, if not, they're running to the machine to get that nickel piece of candy out of there. And on their way, they drop the nickel, and it rolls over, and it goes into a vent or underneath the pop machine sitting right next to it. And you can't get to it. The child wants to get this so bad, but they let it out of their hands, and it rolls under the machine. So what do? Well, you just get in your wallet and give them a $100 bill. No, no. See, everybody, here we go. Here's a question for you. Is God wise? Is God stupid? See, that everybody's going to say, well, I understand that. You would never, as a father, open your wallet when they can't handle the nickel and give a $100 bill. How would you expect God to open his blessings upon your life when you're not taking care of what he's already given you? So you got to get this and understand. You give them the nickel, and when they start taking care of the nickel, then you give them the quarter. And when they take care of the quarter, then you might give them a dollar. But you're not going to give a child a $100 bill to keep up with when they can't take care of the nickel or the quarter or the dollar. How in the world is God going to trust you with something that you're not already taking care of that he's given you? Faithful in the little opens the door for more. In verse 21, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant, you've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more. I will give you many more. Let's celebrate together. Verse, in case you missed it in 21, just go to 23. And now I will give you many more. Because you've been faithful in this, I'll give you more. And since you've been faithful here, are you getting that? We pray, God, just give me a bigger house, and you're not taking care of cleaning the one you got. Ooh, talk to the kids again. There are benefits to going to a church that teaches a practical word. And there are also frustrations as you hear the word preached. Because obviously, if we can't take care of our room and keep it clean, young people, adults, when we can't take care of what we've been given, don't start praying for more. Start taking care of what you got. Praying for a new car, and you leave the windows down and the rain comes in and it smells like mildew. You have trash all over it. Take care of what you got, and then you'll get the next. So you got to learn, this is a principle that is taking years in a lot of areas for us to get a hold of, but we are continually going, wait, we're praying or believing God for something. When you're not taking care of what you got, you're not going to get something. There's a taking care of what you got. Praying for a better job and you're not showing up on time to the one you got. There ain't no need to pray for a better job until you can start showing up and being what God called you. I had a young man right before service said, Ashley, I want to tell you. Well, he didn't want to tell me. Mom wanted him to tell me. Tomorrow's going to be a great day. You can see it. He did. He was trying to hide his excitement. Tomorrow's going to be a great day. It's going to be my first job tomorrow. Tomorrow I start my first job. Now, he didn't want really to bring any recognition, but he said, I'll sit on the back row, and his name's Caleb. And well, I'm excited for him. I couldn't be more thrilled that he starts his first job tomorrow. I told him, tonight's message will change your whole life if you'll get a hold of this. It'll change your whole life if you'll get a hold of this. See, don't ever start praying for another job until you're being faithful and you're committed to the one you got. See, that's the way life works. We pray for more money and we're spending every dollar we make, and it just doesn't make any sense. Being faithful with where you are right now opens the door for more. Praying for more money when you're spending all your money right now on depreciating items. So that don't make any sense. I'm going to spend all my money on depreciating items, and I'm going to try to ask God for more. Why pray for more money when you're spending it all on something that you're losing it on? It just rolled under the vent. It rolled under the pop machine. And we're not, take $1,000 and go buy a couch that I'm telling you in less than 6 months will be worth $50. People doing it all the time. Continuing to turn money into nothing. We're good at it. We're in a society that's great at it. We can't learn to turn one light off and we're praying for a house that has a bunch of lights. You better learn to turn your one light off and watch that electric bill so you can be faithful in that before you can get. See, you just, people aren't doing this. They're not getting this. Close the door. Were you born in? How many's heard that in their life? I never paid the electric bill and I left the door open. You start paying the electric bill and you still leave the door open. Well, what sense is that? It's called none. There's no sense in that. And therefore, you're not going to go to the next level that has a higher bill because you're not being faithful. It just makes sense in every arena of life. You have one window, interns. You have two or three windows in your upstairs apartment. If you're going to leave those open when it rains and you're going to believe God for your own place one day that has five or six windows or 20, you can just not count on that at all until that one's closed. So in all of life, that's just the way it works. It's the way life works. Third servant, verse 24. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. Verse 25, I love this. Actually, I don't, but it's a good point. I was afraid. I was scared. And I didn't know what to do. I hid it because I was afraid. Why were you afraid? If you've got fear running your life, it's because you're not looking at the scripture and living biblical. And that was his problem. The reason he was afraid is because he knew he had messed up. I was afraid. I didn't know what to do. Church, you don't have to live afraid. You just need to live according to the word and fear will leave. See, that's what people don't understand. Take money from this servant. Verse 28. Then he ordered, take money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. Take money from this one and give it to the one over here. To those who have, even more will be given. Boy, Romans 12, I'm reminded of this scripture. Don't be conformed to the world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many here has seen the movie Robin Hood by raising hands? How many here seen? You're not in trouble. I'm not going to call it. Okay, most everybody here has got their hand up. What is the main theme of Robin Hood? Communism. Whoa, what are you talking about? Take from the rich and give to the poor. Take to the rich and give. Now that sounds great. It's just an exact denial and the exact opposite of what scripture says. I mean, right here, verse 28. Take the money from the servant and give it to the one who has the money. All right, so let's create a movie that's really cool and sounds great, and let's just go directly against the word of God. Communism says if you'll get into the mind of kids, you can have the next generation. If you'll just get a concept into the mind of young people and see if you can get the mentality of Robin Hood infiltrated into a country and you preach that long enough, you'll eventually have a child who grows up to be president with that exact thinking. And you can also have senators and representatives that think the same way. Take from the rich, give to the poor. And see, first thing you know, you've got a country that's running on a communist ideology. Are y'all hearing this? So we've messed this whole thing up and we've left the Bible out. See, we love the story of Robin Hood. It was so intriguing. I mean, get that money from that old rich man and let's give it to the poor. That old mean rich man, he doesn't need that money. That needs to be given to the poor. And so what we do is we think that it's okay to take from the rich and give to the poor. Be careful about what's going on in our country that we think biblical. There's nothing biblical about taking from the rich and giving to the poor. Well, actually, it seems the rich just keep getting richer and the poor getting poorer. That's just what it seems like to me. It does seem like that, doesn't it? And the reason it seems that way is because that's the way it works. Well, I don't know that I like that. Let me just tell you, the poor never hire anyone. The poor don't hire anyone. The poor don't donate to cancer research. The poor don't give money to a heart hospital or give money to tsunami relief. The poor doesn't come in and build the churches and the auditoriums that will bring people in and teach them this thinking. See, the poor doesn't do that. The way that happens is people got money. And what I'm saying is the people with money obviously are going to be the givers because they're the only one that can give. So to take from them and force them into giving to the poor is saying that they can't be trusted with what they've got. And the thing is, the reason they got what they got is because they can be trusted. You take away from those who have and give it to those who don't have, and don't ever expect anything good to happen. It don't work that way. The country can't operate like that. It can't, it won't, it not ever is going to work. It's not biblical. So there's no promise of God there. All have known Robin Hood. When I asked that question, hands went up everywhere. But no one ever thought about this when they were watching it. I didn't either. I never thought about it. Church, don't let your kids watch Robin Hood. I'm telling you, you don't want that ideology being infiltrated into our next generation. That's why we're teaching that. That's why we have camps. That's why we have, I want them to get that. That's why we have a Christian school. That's why we have an intern program. I'm trying to get correct thinking in our younger generation so when they are the generation that's running this country, we got right thinking going on and it's biblical. We've got to teach the next generation biblical thinking. You can study world history. Let me just challenge you tonight as you do that. As you study world history, show me one nation anywhere that has ever taxed the rich and gave to the poor and it prospered. Taxing the rich and giving to the poor does not prosper anything. It will send a country, that ideology sends you into darkness. Gnashing of teeth, not a good place. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that sounds good, but in the end is death. See, Robin Hood may sound good, but it don't make any sense at all. Verse 28, to those who have, more is given. To those who have not, what they have will be taken away. So what do we do? What do we do? We understand this. Here, what do we do? Here's what we do, this simple point. Move from a have-notter into a haver. Not good English, but a good point. Move to a have, from a have-notter into a haver. That's all you got to do. A three-year-old gets a dollar, and what do they think? They think, how can I eat this dollar? Well, not actually the dollar. They see that dollar as candy. And what they want to do is, quick as they can get that dollar translated into candy, they're going to so they can consume it. I mean, this is the ideology going on in our country right now. This is what we teach from a very early age, this. How can I get that dollar into candy? At five-year-old, this three-year-old turns five, and their thinking then changes, right? Yeah, they got a $5 bill, and they're thinking, take me to the toy aisle at Walmart. I see them in there. You can't go to Walmart and walk over to the toy aisle that there's not a kid and a mom or a grandfather or somebody walking down. What happened was that kid got $5 or $10, and he's getting ready to spend it. He's going to turn that as quick as he can. He's going to turn it in just immediately to a little toy that'll be torn up by the time he gets home. We'll turn it in. See, I'm going to find out how quick I can take this $5 and make it worth nothing. Well, that five-year-old, he got the point now, and that five-year-old now turns 13. And he gets a little job by a grandparent or a relative or somebody that hired him to help him out with something, and he works for a while, and he gets $100. Whoo! Never had $100 at one time before. What's he start thinking? Video game. Video game, maybe two. If I can buy one under 50, and for those of you that don't ever buy video games, there are video games over $50 just for one game. That's not the system. That's just what you have to buy to put in the system. Am I wrong? So if you can get two for 100, you've done good. So what are they going to do? They're going to go take that $100 bill that they just got for the raking leaves and the work they've done for the last few weeks, and they're going to go immediately turn it into a video game so that it won't be worth anything. They're going to take that $100 to make it worth nothing and just as quick as they can. Well, that 13-year-old's now, I got it now, at 17. First job. Caleb, here. First job. First paycheck. You work a week, maybe 2 weeks, and you get that first paycheck. $300! It's all mine! What am I doing? Turn that. Boom. That car radio, I got new speakers. That subwoofer, man, it not only shakes every window, it shakes the windows in the car next to me. Woo-hoo! I got, what'd he do? Take that $300 and immediately consumed all of it to where it's worth nothing. So we can see that, but then you turn 27 or 37 and you've already developed a lifestyle of this. At 27 or 37, you're paycheck to paycheck, and every time you get paid, you're paying every dollar of that just to pay the bills to get you caught up, and then you're asking your boss for an advance because you don't have any money left from the last paycheck. Everybody knows somebody. This is nobody in this church. I'm just teaching y'all this because it sounds good. I understand that. How quick can I consume this? See, if it's possible to have $20 in your pocket, it's possible to buy something that you don't need. And then we get these credit card offers in the mail. Whoo! Now I don't have the money for something I want to buy, but I got a card. And so we're going to go charge it to a card, and we're going to buy something that is going to depreciate before we even get the credit card bill in the mail. And by the time we're having to pay for it, it's worth nothing. And so we just continue to learn not only to throw it away, but to spend more than we make. And then we're in real trouble. So then we go bankrupt. Happens all the time. Now you see this and you hear about it. Maybe you've been there. But let me just tell you, that's how our government's operating right now. So we've got this great, great program that we cannot pay for. That's all right. Let's just go ahead and have the program. We'll just put it on credit. We'll just raise, that's what the national debt is. Just keep raising that thing. And we can't, see, to him who has will more be given. Where's our country at? Deep in debt. And we're wanting to be given the blessings of God, yet we're not taking care of what we got. The way that gets turned around is getting people with biblical thinking starting to be the majority instead of the minority. Well, just this church right here, Pastor, can't you see we're not going to make a dent? If every church in the world starts teaching this parable and we get Christians living by this day in, we start raising our kids with this mindset and everybody does their part, we can turn this generation around. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be teaching it. See, there is a key in this parable to see the gospel furthered. It takes money to do anything. And the thing is, if you don't have 10 bags of silver, you can't give three. When you only have one and what you have is being taken away every week, you have nothing to give to further the kingdom. See, you want more money today, what you've got to do is make a commitment. Here's what you can hear today. Caleb, hear this. I'm picking on you all service because I love you. And you haven't messed up yet, so you haven't done anything wrong. Now, when you spend your first paycheck, that's when you could mess this up. Because you'll get it. Here's what I want to encourage you. Don't ever, from the time you hear this, from forever, from this point forward, forever, don't let a dollar pass through your pocket that you don't put a portion into savings. Yeah. Well, I do that. Yeah, and then you dip into your savings. Don't let a portion of money ever come to you in any way, shape, or form that you don't put some in savings. Well, that's not adding up. You do that for 20 or 30 years and find out where you're at. See, you start being a haver, and then there is a biblical promise that will start coming. To him who has will more be given. I can't even sit here and tell you all the blessings that I have watched by watching this principle come to life with Michelle and I. By having what you have and taking care of it, being faithful with it, and not ever spending more and doubling every dime you get because you're not spending all of it on money or on things that take the money out of your pocket. See, I got a whole lot of money in my pocket. My wife walked into my office today. I need some money. Do you have some money? You bet I got some money. And I just handed it to her and said, here's you some money. If I don't have money, I got a card and I can go get it. And it's not on credit. See, I've got money and I'm going to keep money in my pocket. And I just said, here's you a little bit extra for next week. You need to have this in your wallet. Now I'm going to keep doing that. But then I didn't give her all of it. I kept a big percentage in my pocket. Now she lives by this too. And I have found that when I keep giving her, I can go look at hers and sometimes she's got more in there than I got. How's that happen? Because we don't consume every dollar. We keep. I tell our young people at camp all the time as I'm talking to them in advance, I'll just take a bunch of cash and lay it down and say, why do I have this? And the answer I always give them is because I haven't spent it. The reason you're a haver is because you haven't spent it. It's just that simple. And, I just don't see. Read Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Read Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Read Matthew 25, 14. Because he who has will more be given. Start furthering the kingdom, church. See, he wants to bless you so you can be a giver. But you can't be a giver. It's not about making you wealthy. It's about furthering the kingdom. It's about furthering the kingdom. When God comes back, you've got to be someone who is like the guy with the 10 bags. Have you been faithful with what he has entrusted you with? Jesus has entrusted you with things according to your ability. You have the ability. Now go do the right thing with it. You cannot live life spending everything that you make every week and expect to be blessed. You just can't do it. Be a haver. Now tonight, I want you to know, I was praying for you before the service started. And here was my prayer for you, that you would have a measure of increase, that you would have a measure of blessing that would come into your finances, and that you would be blown away. And then God said, you just taught from my word to be faithful with what you got. So don't pray the blessing for them. Pray that they're faithful in what they got, and then let me show them the blessing. That's when I felt God would, as I was praying, God, pour your financial blessing out. And he said, you need to tell them. I mean, it's just clear as day. You need to tell them that I'm not going to pour anything out until you can take care of what you got. See, I'm not pouring anything out on you, on those people, on your people. I'm not doing anything on my people until they're faithful with what they got. Be faithful, be a haver, and watch then God perform his miracle in your finances and in your life, and then you'll watch the kingdom furthered. I've been teaching this since the start of this church, and people are blown away with a church our size, all that we've done and built. With just the people here, they're blown away and not a penny in debt. Why is that the case? Because we're havers here. We're havers here, and we're not going to be have-notters. And as long as we're havers, more will be poured into us. It'll be supernatural. We won't understand it, but more will be given. More will be given.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.